Holy Spirit. We give you praise, Father, for the privilege to gather again under the auspices of your Spirit. We thank you because your heart is made up to bless us tonight. And so we labor to align as we file up with the ranking angels of Zion, as we align with the flow and the energy of life. We ask that you look upon us even according to the counsel of your will, that your blessings and your bounties may flow in our direction tonight. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Again, it's a privilege, sir, to be here this evening to bring a brief word of charge. Thank you for the privilege, sir. Thank you, ma'am. You've taught us the word of God. You are also giving us the privilege to learn the use of our spiritual tools.
As we attain unto mastery by the help of God's Spirit, like I always say, in the days when you are full of age, we will surround you like the mighty men of David. You see, the creatures of heaven are looking for an opportunity to invade this service. If you have been discerning and sensitive, you know that the atmosphere is heavy and robust. Every time we ascend, it looks as if something wants to be punctured in the spirit. I came here with a faith message, but when I discerned the atmosphere, I discovered our labor tonight is a labor of alignment. The moment we align, the armies of Zion will file in their ranks, and men of order, men of discernment, those who have sensed the movements and the vibrations of God, they will enter into an economy that is divine. And on the strength of that economy, possibilities that were factored into your destiny even before the foundations of the world will begin to find expression. As we share the word of God tonight, God will invade this building at any time. I want to plead that you don't listen to me with your head. Listen with your heart, because there's a movement in the spirit. You see, when you engage a spirit that is holy, you must understand that there are definite courtesies for engaging the presence. The angels that have the privilege to vibrate before Yahweh Elohim, there is a courtesy that they understand. One of such courtesies is a courtesy of reverence. Another courtesy of standing before a spirit that is holy is the courtesy of honor. Another courtesy is a courtesy of expectation. If your heart is not full of expectation, you will walk past where creatures of glory are walking through, and you will not connect with the energies of Zion. We are ascending the mountains of God. Those are not songs. They are chants of war. They are summons into heights of glory. They are not songs, brothers and sisters. Only men that make it to the top of the mountain will command the armies of God. They are certain that we not make it to the top. Life will not make so much meaning on ground. Tonight is the night of alignment. As we chant the chants of glory, that we synchronize with the vibrations of Zion. The testimonies are opened up to you. I'm synchronizing with Zion. I'm waiting for the testimony. The utterance has not come. What we are doing is that we are entering deeper. I'm waiting. Let the tablets of the testimony be opened. You run, you run, you run.
You run.
Ah,
Just go ahead and speak in tongues for 1 minute. Riba habora severniga para. Rapa pate zelevone para. Retetalia zalemonda rapa. Shabaka salia. Shabak. You got it. Reparano shabaka. Obre sese. Ayate rapa. Ayo shabaka. Marediana shabaka. Ombaka sabo. Azaka. Yali Marade, Marade Italian. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Abra son Malahavish. Sezelia Mravina Hazak Shezeli Barako Noboroniask Ezezelia Kambaria Kamake Zebegeberia Lamondre Havakaris Rahabai Sakai Velinase Savak Mantekira Parina Arika Pake Sobolona Zariena Mahazevak Zayande Parakus. Thank you, Father. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow, blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Blow, blow.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, the movements have begun. The movements have begun. God wants to drop utterance on the lips of some young men now. Some of you traveled in. Listen, the movements have begun. I'm seeing young people with graces that God wants to commission. But he said you need the utterance of the Spirit. The movements have begun. And so in the hall, and outside the hall, and even on the internet, I speak as a custodian of the oracles of God. Everyone with such ordination at this time, I stretch my hands in your direction. I said, take it in the name of Jesus. Barakomesh, Rekenia Sabak. Somebody has an utterance of deliverance outside. There's a power to cast out devils. It's upon your lips. And as I speak, the hand of God comes upon that one. Mande Ebekazias, I'm seeing a tall young man. You came from the east. The hand of God is upon you. Your ordination is now. And I speak with the testimony of the fathers. Let such one receive that ordination. Mande Kadasiras. Listen, I'm seeing a figure in the spirit. I'm seeing a figure. It's a number 5. It's a number in the spirit. And the Lord said, wants to release grace on some persons. 5 of you. I can see somebody tall with a full hair that the hand of God is coming on right now by the Spirit of God. And let the ordination begin. Everyone that is implicated by that utterance right now in the name of Jesus, let that grace rest upon you. Na 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 na, yeah.
of you are sensing heat on your chest now. There is heat on your chest as if something is cooking. So strong on your chest. Now, the Holy Ghost is removing something from somebody's abdomen. Now, by the Spirit of God. Now, by the Spirit of God. And every one of you sensing that heat on your chest, run out quickly. There's something for you. It's a 1 minute ordination. A heat on your chest is so hot. Mare Cabanas. I called you to make contact with this altar because the fire on this altar will fall upon you. The fire. I didn't call you to lay hands, but as you make contact with this premise now, the fire on this altar, it begins to rest upon you by the Spirit of the living God. You will go back changed. You will go back with the word of the Lord on your lips. You will go back as keepers of the heritages of God. You will go back as custodian of mysteries in the Spirit. It's an ordination of God. And right now, precious Holy Spirit, as a sign, let the fire rest upon one of them. Let the fire rest upon one of them. Let the fire rest upon one of them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a young lady somewhere around the middle of this hall. There's an oil floating in your hand now. You are sensing the sensation. It's an oil. It's an evangelical mantle floating upon your hand. Run out quickly. Let me drop something on you quick. Just stretch your hand. You don't need to come. Father, in the name of Jesus, that which you have allocated for her, I release it upon her now. Take in the name of Jesus. I release that mantle upon you. Go and be a worker of miracles. In the name of Jesus, let the grace come upon you now by the hand of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Let it bubble out of her by the hand of God. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. And so let it be established according to the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You see, God is out to bless us this night. Some of you have already been healed. A pain has left somebody's right knee. Check your leg now. A pain has just left. Nobody is praying for anybody, but God has gone ahead of us. A pain has left somebody's right knee. Check it, it's gone. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'm sensing the hand of God come upon a young lady outside, somewhere around the back, outside of this building. You are a deliverance minister, and the hand of God is upon your life now, and that anointing will overwhelm you. You can't keep it. It will overwhelm you by the Spirit of God. It's a grace upon your life.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. You can go back to your seat if you can. God bless you. I just stumbled into this. It wasn't part of the arrangement. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Pray for me, please. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. I'll just give a charge for 20 minutes so Daddy will come up and minister to us by the Spirit. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Every area of oppression in the life of a believer is an area of an ignorance of God, of a dimension of His Spirit. The secret of preservation is captured on the strength of your knowledge of God. Every area of oppression in a man's life is an indicator of a possible ignorance of a dimension of God. The people that do know their God. So the question is not whether you have a God or not. I interact with a lot of people and you hear questions like, if God is there, why is this happening? The problem is not whether God is or not. The problem can be traced to your ignorance. I've gone through pains. I've gone through peri. Why would this be happening? If you say God is real, the problem is not the reality of God. What do you know about God? And what aspect of God do you know that can handle the obvious challenge in your life? Whatever it is that is a challenge is not even an argument whether you have a God or not. All have a God, but the ones that are strong and will do exploit are the ones that do know their God. Many have been deceived by the devil and ran the way of folly, and they call themselves atheists, arguing that there is no God because of challenges in their lives that they could not surmount. The problem is not with God. It is traced to their ignorance of a dimension in God that handles the plague of their lives. So it becomes the responsibility of every Christian to explore God in his lifetime. The greatest preoccupation of any entity in the realms of God is the pursuit of the knowledge of God. So Jesus comes in John 17 verse 3 and he summarizes life. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know him. It's not a function of what you have. It's a function of your knowledge. Because all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us, but it is obtainable only through the ginosko of God. If there is a part of all things that pertains to life and godliness that is lacking in a man's life, the problem is not traced to God. It's traced to what he knows about God. This
this is life eternal, that they may know him, the only true God. But the devil is a wicked spirit. Part of the advantages that he has is the fact that he was a creature of the presence. He was a being of the presence. So he understands how to rob a generation of what they have in God, because he understands the mysteries, the precepts, the patterns, and the principles of God. He is a creature of the presence. He said, "Where were thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the sons of the morning sang for joy?" They watched God carry out some feats of creation. So they understand some of the secret codes that are locked into this world. So when the devil wants to rob a generation of their inheritance, what he advertises to them are pathways that lead to ignorance. The challenge and the plague of the believer is the mountains of ignorance in his life. The moment you know a dimension of God that handles the problem you have, your problem becomes the past. And the reason we preach and keep preaching is to open up the portals of God so that men can know him and commune with his spirit. He said, "You were in Eden from the day of thy creation until iniquity was found in you." Until iniquity was found in you. He said, "Out of the multitude of thy merchandise, you corrupted thyself." So he knows what to do to be darkened. There is a multitude of a merchandise that brings about darkness of the soul, and it comes to educate generations upon generation the way of darkness. And we embrace it, and we are separated from the commonwealth of Israel. So in Ephesians 4:18, he said we are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in our hearts, because we have been darkened. Even when the gospel is brought to them, he said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded." What area of your heart is blinded? It is an area that the devil will exploit and exploit again. Resolutions don't bring men to advantage. It is the knowledge of God, because knowledge does not bring knowing. Knowledge brings freedom. He said, "And thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The moment knowledge comes, you don't know so much, you become so free. Yeah. You know, our generation is losing out something. We think we know, so we come to talk. The sign that you know is not what you say. The sign that you know is the testimony of how much you have become like God. Because knowledge brings liberty. The man that knows so much that is not the knowledge of God, his head is lofty. But the man that has the knowledge of God is so free. So free that he can walk through darkness, and it's as if darkness does not exist. The psalmist said, "You lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death," the deepest darkness can no longer hold him back, because he has acquired the knowledge that brings liberty. Few weeks ago, an angel of the Lord came to me, and he caught me up into the spirit and began to show me some of the things God wants to release to our generation.
And they say, God wants to release grace. God wants to release strength. And God wants to release wisdom. He said, grace is the ability that God is giving to this generation to live above death and corruption. So we will be armed on the left and on the right to counter everything the devil is doing. So the heads of many will be exalted like the horn of the unicorn. The heads of many. If that doesn't come upon you, your life will be a struggle. You don't do what you do because you are smart. You do what you do because by divine politics you were ordained. And when that grace comes upon your head, whether the devil likes it or not, you are exalted like the horn of the unicorn. He said, this is one of the spiritual commodities that is given to this generation. And many have been numbered. So the reason you begin to sense hunger to pray is not because you love prayer. There is a wisdom from the mountains of Zion that is sucking you to the place where you will interact with grace. Because that which God has to offer is on the mountain. So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm upon his holy mountain. So when that hunger comes to fast, you are hearing the sound of a trumpet. The angels that are part of your calling and were commissioned with you from Zion, they are beginning to suck your reality. So your spirit man begins to tell your natural man, come brother, there is a key on the mountain waiting. There is a key. It's a summon to deep places, because only them who travel to the deep can see the wonders of God. Graces have been allocated. So angels, creatures of heaven, are wooing men to the presence. Wooing men, sucking them into prayer. It looks as if they are useless. Many are distracted with the pursuit of life. They are pursuing things because the devil brings anxiety as a burden and put on their shoulder. We don't run by speeding. We run by waiting. So it doesn't matter who moves first. The guy can labor and go forward. Wait for me. When I touch that grace, it said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab. It doesn't matter if you are running on the chariot of the king. What is the grace on your head? When it comes, forget it. You will lead your generation. God is releasing graces. Many who are numbered, they are not aware. Somebody enters his room. He came from a church service. He still wants to pray. What you don't know is that before you came home, the angel was waiting for you. Because he knows that the journey to the top of the mountain is yet far. And you have not prepared enough. So you prayed in the morning, but you must pray in the night. Because you must touch that grace. It's an oil flowing from Zion. How many would that oil rest on their head? Kamash, Fedakarias, Kadagasigis, Mantekabaki Rubarask, Mandaria Pades and Agavis, Mekorina Hadak. The men that should change the fortunes of nations are here, but they don't know the value of grace. They don't know the things that were captured into the season. They don't know that even though the devil sent a plague, God has turned it out for our good. You were supposed to change Canada, but you are distracted by Chevron. So God says, sit at home, and the angels are wooing you every day, and then you end up on Big Brother Niger. He has seen you and he discovers getting to the top of the mountain will take 8 months. So he began in January, but you spent January to April watching a program. So even when you continue, you will not reach the top unless by mercy. We stand up, we say, it's our generation, it's our generation. And we are on Facebook chatting from morning to night. We don't know. Gomash. I saw a vision in the spirit and it troubled me. I saw men that were in church for 10 years were there mastering activity, and I saw young people who just came in from outside overtook them and began to lead the generation. I said, God forbid. We must be discerning to sense the summons of heaven. A grace is coming. And the second thing God is releasing is stamina, so that men will finish strong. Because there are two kinds of darkness.
The first darkness stops the move of God. The second darkness prevents the move of God from beginning. He said, and in those days, the voice of God was cast. This was a move that began with Samuel, but Eli had destroyed it. He said, the voice of God was cast. The lamp in the sanctuary had gone off. The move had died because no man to tend the presence. Moves die. We run for meetings, we receive impartations, but their lifespan don't exceed 3 weeks. And then we come to brag how many men have laid hands on us and who we snap pictures with. It is the grace on your life that gives you an identity in Zion. What if you went to Zion and they told you are the Elijah of your generation? And then when they check your profile, there was nothing like Elijah that reflected in your life, because you didn't climb the ear of David to wear your garment. What is coming is heavy, but it's by grace, not by flesh. I know you are smart, I know you are intelligent, I know you are an orator, but orators are not needed. The wise are not needed. It is the graced, the engraced of God, they are the ones who are needed. And there's a place where men wear garments in glory. He said in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4, he said, on the neck of the mountains of David are the shields of many warriors. A strength that is coming, the feeble will become mighty. You will ask them how. It's a 400 broken and battered men came to David in the cave Adullam. He doesn't need your strength. The one you have to do with his name is called El Shaddai. He doesn't need your strength. That's why God breaks men to use them. So you lose your confidence in what you think you have. It's not an asset in the spirit. Broken and battered men, they met David. And when David was through with them, they were called the mighty men of David. Designation had changed because strength has come. It's part of our artillery. If all you have is your certificate, my brother, you can't stand the tide. It's a heavy one. You need stamina in the spirit. That's why he said about the young man in 1 John chapter 2 verse 14, I write unto you young men, because you are strong and the word of the Lord abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. You are strong. Why are you strong? Because your stamina is in the waters of the Spirit. The word of the Lord abides in you. These are the men that eat the word of God every day. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded the mouth of God. Wonders are weapons of young men. He said, you have overcome the evil one. So when you want to see a man who is a young man in the spirit, check how many damage he has done to darkness. But you need stamina. 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 And then wisdom. Through wisdom is an house built. By understanding it is established, and by knowledge the chambers are filled. Wisdom is not intelligence. It's the ability to enter into the heart of a spirit and isolate his counsel. So you live by the light of God. That's why Job said, by light I walk through darkness. By light I walk through darkness. He had the ability to enter the heart of God. So when Job speaks, he's talking because he has isolated the counsel of God. It's not an activity for prophets. It's one of the weapons of the army. Thank God for the edge that the prophets have. But every one of us must learn how to enter the heart of God. So when we talk, we confound darkness. And again, I saw that the one that was cast as profane from the mountain of God had developed another strategy.
And I was troubled in my spirit. I said, why does the devil always have a way of countering so many things God does in order to have a harvest? What form of intelligence is this? How is it possible? And he said, the wisdom of the devil would have counted for nothing if men were yielded to God. So the power is not in the intelligence of darkness. It is in the disloyalty, the rebellion of the sons of light. And I saw the machinations of darkness. And I saw what I term as mutation. Mutation. I said, what form of intelligence is this? I saw a man prophesying with power and preaching against immorality. And the next step, the same man is committing immorality. I now said, this is against the law of the spirit. Light and darkness cannot cohabit. What form of wisdom is this? So the devil is not fighting the man who is hungry for God. The devil just wants to create an occasion where the man can add darkness to light. And he calls it mutation. And that is the first that will disqualify the army of God. Because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it is not even the devil that will disqualify you. God will reject you. Because you are a combination of light and darkness. The first healing tonight will begin from the soul. Because it's corruption. Daddy quoted the scripture. I say, in the land of Zabulon, in the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness. That's what it means. More than 80% of the young preachers are compromised. We know what to do to move fire. And we also know how to perfect secrets that are detestable before the Holy One of Israel. Mutation. So at the end of the day, when the roll is called, many will not be there. This is what makes men come to the Lord and they say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. They know how to combine light and darkness. And I looked again and I saw another mystery. He called it dislocation. So men who have embellished ambition, he allowed them with their hunger and they pressed until suddenly I saw evangelists becoming politicians. And I saw intercessors becoming evangelists. And I saw apostles becoming merchants. And I said, what is this? He said, so that men will run in a track that God did not design for them. And if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. So you will run and finish first. But when you run, they will tell you this is not your track. You have built strength, you have built stamina, but you ran on the wrong track. You didn't participate in the race. When you come, they will say, where are you from? Who are you? Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Media is supposed to be a tool of advancing kingdom, but it has become a tool of disqualifying many. Because many are called into ministry by Facebook. It's about like and followership. But no man can isolate the counsel of God. There's no testimony. We are quoting men, quoting their rhymes. A man can score your message, but he doesn't have the life that the message communicates. Darkness. You reign, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. I said, why did the fathers get it right? He said, because they only did what God told them. We have ability, but we are not yielded. How did they succeed? They were comfortable with what God told them. So a man is comfortable if he's not known or his life. The only thing that makes him happy is when he comes to the place of prayer and he can interact with the presence. The presence was their focus. So if a man comes to preach and he can't find the presence, preaching ends until he finds the presence. Because he's not an orator. He's a communicator of life. He's a witness of truth. He's a custodian of essence of God. We are not concerned about matters of the spirit. We are concerned about earthly and mundane things.
because our soul structure have been covered with darkness. Almighty on your throne. And yet again I saw another dark mystery in the spirit, and it's distraction. It's not a sin. Everybody prides himself to claim to be holy, but there is something that depletes our energy. It's called distraction. So the guy prays in tongues for 4 hours. He diffuses it in 10 minutes. And then he follows a cycle. He takes one step forward. He takes 3 steps backward. He takes one step forward. He takes 3 steps backward. By the time he runs for 1 year, he is many miles behind where he started from. And then he thinks he's running, but he's actually going through a cycle that takes him backward. So by the time we become old, we'll realize that we didn't make progress. And I began to entreat the Lord, first for myself. I said, Lord, help me, help me, help me. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And he said, lift up your eyes from where you are now and see. And my mind went to the scriptures in Genesis 13 verse 14. And he said from verse 10 that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were green. And he chose that path. But at the end of the day, it became a ground of desolation. But Abraham waited until God said, lift up your eyes. And he looked north, south, east, and west. And God gave him the whole world. So he said, the only way to succeed is not to move until God speaks. He said, it kills ambition. It kills corruption. If you know you can't step until God speaks, you may not be too quick to move. I saw the reason why in Mark 1:35, he said, a great while in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. If you know that you can take the wrong step, then you will not move until God speaks. So some people may have to begin their day by 12 p.m. to be accurate. You're mighty on your throne. This is not condemnation, brothers and sisters. It's an alarm in the spirit. Adosh, you are mighty on your throne. They looked unto him and they were radiant. They were not ashamed. Their faces were radiant. The first way to survive is to know how to look. Is to know how to look. Because when you look upon the mountains of God, it will turn your eyes from your affliction. And then you will enter where your destiny is resolved. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction are but for a moment. It brings you an understanding that what is happening now cannot characterize your life. This is where sickness becomes one of the things that will be handled cheaply. This is where poverty becomes one of the things that will be handled cheaply. This is where afflictions becomes one of the things that will be handled cheaply. Because we know that our light affliction, how did we come about that knowledge? We have seen a slate that is in eternity. We lifted our eyes. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen. And even in this service, most of you, we have to look away from your sickness, because by the time you turn back, it will no longer be there. I'm telling you, because the reason most people fail is because of sickness. The reason most people fail the race of destiny is because of circumstances. The reason many people fail the race of destiny is because of ambition. He said they looked unto him. They looked unto him. This is why we preach these kinds of messages. What it does for you is that you forget yourself for a moment and you start contemplating matters of eternity. Lord, how do I find you? How do I walk with you? And when you look back, you discover your limitations are no more. Moses, the Bible said, was laboring until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. Moses did not understand. He was still troubled that he was a stammerer. And the great one asked him a question: who created the mouth? This is how we know that our light affliction are but for a moment, when we can see him. And one of the ways of seeing him is through his word. Because the spirit realm is not necessarily a place where you close your eyes and imagine things. The walls were framed by the word of God. The things which are were not made out of the things which do appear.
is why I began. I tell you, your greatest advantage is the knowledge of God that you have. It's an experiential knowledge. It was prophet that lifted the scripture. He said, as we behold him, we are changed. We are changed. We are changed. In this service tonight, the first thing God will do is that he will cause men to look up. He will cause men to behold him. And by the time they are done beholding him, their sicknesses would have vanished. They will realize. I heard a story by Benny Hinn. A preacher invited him. He had cancer. And he told Benny Hinn, I'm inviting you because of me. But please don't make the church know that I have cancer. He said, but when you are ministering, if the anointing comes upon you, come and minister to me. But please don't tell the church. Benny Hinn was ministering. The anointing was upon him. The anointing was upon him. And when he looked at the man was composing himself, trying to act so that people would not notice and all of that. And Benny Hinn wanted to go, and Jesus said, don't touch him. Don't touch him. Until he kept worshiping. And a point came when the man was overwhelmed with tears. As he was crying, the Lord told him, now. And as he came close to the man, his eyes were closed. He went under the power. And cancer ended. Because at that point, his gaze has shifted. When we preach messages like this and the heart of men are open, something is happening on their inside. He said the spirit will enter into the heart of the man. And he will grant him wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of his understanding begins to gain enlightenment. So when your heart opens, something is happening beyond what you know. The Holy Ghost now begins to walk on your inside. That is when you are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. If we are corrupt, we will collide with sickness. We will collide with destruction. We will collide with a lot of things. Services like this will not help us. Because it will only take a while. What you were cured from, you will go back. It was Captain Kuman that healed a woman who was a porn dancer. And the woman never received the Lord. And she went back. And that was one of the things that hurt her the most in her ministry. She went back. Because she didn't know that beholding him is priority. If God will open your heart tonight, the sickness will vanish before you are prayed for. I've seen it happen many times. The sickness will vanish before you are prayed for. I told us last week, one of the provokers of the power of God is the name of Jesus. The sickness will go at the instance of the name. Even while your heart is yet open now, the Holy Ghost will be ministering to you. The anxiety is too much. The corruption is too much. The weakness is too much. Because nobody can behold him. It is for this reason that the elders of old tarried in prayer for days. For days. I read about Moses, how he will climb Sinai at the age of 80. What is he going to do? To look at the Lord. And the Bible said, even at 120, his strength was intact and his eyes were not abated. A man who behold glory, he rests upon him and he converts his mortal body to become a container of immortality. So in Exodus 34:29, he said he wished not that the skin of his face shone. Even when he was to die, God had to kill him. He can't die. God killed him. He said, go to the mountain of Nebo and die there. If you leave that man, he will walk at the age of 900 and he'll be walking like this. And you say, you are still there. He said, yes, I am here. I am here. And even Caleb that learned the method, Caleb said, at 80, I can take this mountain. They don't die. Who told you cancer is the problem? No. Did you know how it came? Who told you will know how it go? The faith subject did not teach you to try to believe in the ability of God. It only taught you to believe in what God said. The doing part is God's part. He said, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in her that is with child, you do not know the ways of the spirit. Who told you you know when the cancer will go? You come for service, you are saying, where will this cancer go? Focus on Jesus. They looked unto him. They were radiant. You will see how tender that challenge is. We amplify problems because we don't know him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. You didn't know how cancer came and you are so troubled to know how it will go. And you distract yourself in the whole service. Look upon him. Look upon him. Take your eyes away from the distraction and focus. And you will see your sin licked up as if it never existed. He said, because you have hurt me, you have been washed. You will see your weaknesses swallowed up as if it's nothing, and truly it's nothing. Because the mountains keep like lambs. The mountains. He said, oh yeah, Jordan, why do you go backward? Let the earth tremble at the presence of God. The voice of God is full of majesty. The voice of God is upon many waters. It divided the flames of fire. It discovered the forest. It divided. Evil. It causes the hind to calve. What is cancer before God's presence? But how many will look upon him? How many? How many? Even when you are praying for the sick, some people are distracted. They don't know about the moments of the spirit. He said at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. And the first that enters is cleansed of whatsoever. Whatsoever can be dealt with. Because the mountains can skip before him like rams. We don't know the glory. That's why we amplify our challenges. I learned that it is not me that do the work. So I came to east to ease and rest. I came to ease. My duty is to command. If I labor to enter the presence, I come out to command. Because after you have seen, the next thing is to declare. The first labor is to see. When you have seen, you declare. In John 3:32, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto thee. The moment a man sees, he receives the authority to declare. And whatever he says, bows. The problem is that sometimes we don't labor to see. So while the world is going on, the person is distracted. But when they are saying, be healed, he's doing like this. He's still in the flesh. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He was in captivity for more than 14 years. But when his word came, everything turned around. He said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people, to make him ruler of his substance and lord of his house, to teach his senators wisdom. When has a slave become a teacher of senators? When his word comes. Wait until my word come, then you will see that I'm indestructible. Wait until my word come, then you will know that that sickness cannot kill me. Wait until my word come. I will wait until that word comes. So when I'm in a service, I'm looking for the word. My job is to lambano. If I find it, he can be telling a story, but my word will come through the story. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh. You know, we'll start declaring very soon. Because many people are beginning to see. I can perceive the energy now. See, it's a hard thing. I know what to do to get people jumping. But this one is a faith reality. So we teach it precepts upon precepts. If you can look away from yourself now, something can shift. Something can shift. Because the word of the Lord will come your way. Whether you can catch it or not, is whether you see. It's whether we see. This is what Paul knew. And he said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken, we having the same spirit of faith. What is the spirit of faith? It's the spirit that sees and declares. Because he went down to verse 18. He said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. So the spirit of faith is the spirit that sees and declares. The activator of the power is your ability to see and to declare. And I told you, what you see is not necessarily a light in the spirit. It is what the word of God brings your way until the time that his word came. Somebody, cancer will fall off from somebody today. The challenge of 10 years, eye condition 10 years, you will be surprised. You will say, wow, is it this easy? Yes. The problem was not the cancer. It was not the eye challenge. It was your inability to see. And if the preacher can make you see, even the presence can heal you. Second Kings chapter 2 verse 9 and 10. If you see me, when I be taken away, you have it. The request may be difficult, but can you see? Can you see? I came to challenge you tonight to open your heart to see. And the moment you see, you are qualified to receive. The man who have not seen will struggle, but the man who has seen has already entered. Because when we see him, we shall be like him. Ask the Holy Ghost now to open the eyes of your heart. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the heart of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Help me, Michael. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
You want to pray in tongues
now?
Open
the eyes of my heart
and to receive.
I want to see you. Daddy, I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
The eyes of your heart are about
see
to open.
You high and lifted up,
because the voice of God shining, is about to come
shining in the light of your glory.
The voice of God is
pour
upon many waters.
Pour out power.
It's full of majesty and glory. It divided the flames of fire.
Singing holy, 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 holy. We cry holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Daddy, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Baba, I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light,
shining in the light of your glory.
Can you pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy? I want to see you high and lifted up, shining. I want to see you
highly lifted up,
shining in the light,
shining in the light of
your glory. Can you pour up, pour
out your power and love,
hey, as we sing holy, holy. I want to see you
highly lifted up,
shining in the light,
shining in the light of your glory.
Can you pour up?
Holy.
in all your ways. Ashananiya kabroskipa. Hey, Daddy, you are pure. May we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of a king. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed, mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of a king. May we never lose our one. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns for. I see the Lord. I see the Lord exalted upon the worship of the people of the earth. I see the Lord.
Hallelujah.